I guess I'll just say good day to everybody, because I'm sure there's people this afternoon, and here it's just about nice morning out. See, we had a nice rain overnight, and it's probably almost 80 degrees outside here. Very nice day. We've had this sort of strange weather here where it's been in the mid-20s Celsius to 30 pretty nearly, but yet we've had all kinds of rain. And it's strange. You see stuff when it's dry, it withers and doesn't grow. And yet God rains on it, and it does give life to it. And this kind of came to mind here a few days ago, or last week or so. We were planting some plants outside, and one got forgot. We laid them out in the flower bed, and one got forgot. So all of a sudden we noticed it, and went back, and it was looking pretty sad. It was all dried up, and yet the other ones that we put in the ground, they were doing all right. So you look at things in nature, and you see this aspect. If it's not watered, it doesn't grow. And who made it that way? You know, we have a tendency in this world. The world looks at things and they use evolution and say that this came from this and that came from that and the other thing, and they suppose this and they suppose that. But this, the title of my sermonette you can put down, Can You Prove It? You know, the people in this world, if you look into the evolutionary theory, they lots of supposes and lots of possibilities, but no proofs of really of how their theories came to be that they live on. And yet if you go through the educational system of this world, that's what they teach, and yet they disregarded the other side. And this all came about here between looking at the plants outside, and a little while ago our youngest daughter come along, and her friend, she'd say, well, she believes this, she believes that. And he says, well, how come you believe that? She said, well, I don't really have an answer. So Mr. Bowles' sermon came along about the proof of Israel, and my wife, she got digging around, and she picked out one of Mr. Armstrong's old booklets, The Bible, Superstition or Authority, Can You Prove It? So I guess I can sort of give my wife credit for the sermonette, because I read the booklet and thought, well, you know, it's can we prove it? You know, we look around us, we know what we believe, but yet can you, if somebody asks you, give a real good reason why you believe what you believe? That, you know, is the Bible true? Why do you believe in the Bible? But as I said, the world and their theories and suggestions of evolution, of how this earth began and life began, there is lots of blank holes, I guess you could say, for lack of better words here at the moment to think of why their theories are true. There's no connecting links, like they're always saying, they're looking for the missing link. But if we go to Isaiah 46 and verse 9 and 10, and it says, remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from the ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. You know, God said he declared the end from the beginning. And it's strange, though, that reading through this booklet here, that I didn't realize before, maybe I should have, but Palestine was given over to King Nebuchadnezzar in 604 BC. And reading through it, it was kind of very interesting to, I'm not a real history buff, maybe I should be, but that the British 2,520 years later, the British soldiers were turned over, the Palestine was surrendered to them from the Turkish people that were in it at that time. And that was exactly on December the 9th, 1917. The British soldiers were given control of Palestine. And it's amazing how history proves what God has said. God said that they would be punished and they would lose their land for 2,520 years. And Mr. Armstrong said in this booklet that the actual date was a week or so later, or a few days later than December the 9th. But in reality, the normal troops had surrendered to the British soldiers until the general could come rolling in about two days later. But the actual date was December the 9th, and he said as far as he could go back through the records, that it was to the date. And God can cause things to be done. And so if we look over into Isaiah 41 and verse 21 to 23. Isaiah 41, verse 21 to 23. And produce your case, saith the Lord. Bring forth your strong reason, saith the King of Jacob. Let them bring forth and show us what shall happen. Let them show the former things what they shall be, that we may consider them and know the latter end of them, or declare us things for us to come. Show the things that are to come hereafter, that we may know that ye are God. Yea, go do good or do evil, that we may be dismayed and behold it together. Here God is sort of taunting through Isaiah the people, the soothsayers and whatever, to go ahead, make predictions, and let's see whether they do come to happen. And 9 times out of 10, if I made a prediction, you know what's going to happen. It isn't going to happen. And it is only God that can do it. And time again, Nebuchadnezzar's dream of the great image through history has proved that it has happened. And it is still things to come in that great vision that Nebuchadnezzar had and Daniel gave the interpretation of. And if you go back to the Emmanuel of Ancient History by Rawlins, it records exactly what happened, that Alexander didn't live to see his kingdom was divided, and you go all down through that, and it all happened exactly as God had recorded in the Bible. So we look back and we can maybe not be able to convict every gainsayer that will come along, because it is God that truly does convict us to believe his word. But yet history in itself should be enough to convict somebody that is of an understanding mind, that wants to understand, even though God may not be totally working with them, but they should be able to understand the facts. So it is God that is in control of all things. He will still continue to make things happen. We are here now looking for, we are waiting for the last two things in that to happen in that great vision of Nebuchadnezzar's, the formation of the last resurrection of the Roman Empire with the ten heads giving their power to the beast, and then waiting for Christ to return to smash these world governments all to pieces. So take heart, and this is sort of just a refresher to make sure that you can prove it.